If we've not met, let me take a quick minute to introduce myself to you, whether you're here in the room or online. My name's Kevin Lee. I'm one of the pastors. Would love the opportunity to connect with you personally and directly. One of the ways that we can connect is by completing the digital connect card. We ask everybody to do this every week. And so if you haven't already done so, let me encourage you to complete that digital connect card. The easiest way to access that is through the QR code that's on the back of the chair in front of you or on the screen behind me. We encourage you to do that. And listen, if you fill that out for the first time or the second time, you already get to be a blessing to somebody, because every person that fills it out for the first or the second time, we honor that by making an additional $10 gift to one of our ministry partners. And so we invite you to partner with us in that. So the question that we're unpacking today is, how do you trust in an anxious world? How do we bring our heart and our lives into alliance with a response of trust? Well, let's listen to what Solomon had to say. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. He says, "My child, never forget the things that I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. And if you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. And then He will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when He corrects you. For the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." Trust will grow in your heart when, number one, you believe that God is trustworthy. This entire passage is all about helping us to understand that God is trustworthy. At the very foundation of trust is this idea about what you believe in God. And the Bible is clear that even in an anxious and an uncertain world, God is trustworthy. In Psalms 22, verse 5, the psalmist writes, "Trust in the Lord and you'll not be disappointed." And so Solomon, when he writes this passage, he begins unpacking all of the different ways that you and I can trust in God's trustworthiness. And there's several things. He says, first of all, he says, His commands are trustworthy. God's commands are trustworthy. When you read Psalms 3 or Proverbs 3, really what you need to do is read this as if God Himself, our Heavenly Father, is talking to you as a child, and He says, "My child, never forget the things that I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart, and if you do this, you'll live many years, and your life will be satisfying." What He's telling us is that God's words are true, that God's words are dependable, that God's words are reliable, that you can trust it. And if you're looking for truth in your life, if you're trying to figure out, what do I need to understand? He's saying, you lean into God's word. Look right here. Do you trust? It's a matter of the heart. Jesus Himself said, "Look, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my words will never pass away." Solomon declares that not only are God's words trustworthy and reliable, but they come with a promise. Did you hear the promise? Verse 2. "If you do this," he said, "you will live many years and your life will be satisfying." Now, satisfying is the NLT translation of two words in Hebrew, and those two words were long and peaceful. Long and peaceful. God's words, God's commands are trustworthy, but that's not all. He also tells us his course is trustworthy. Again, verse 5 and 6. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. He's saying that the way of life that God has for us is dependable. That when we follow his course, when we follow his direction, when we follow his will, it is for our good. Listen, did you know that before the church was called Christians, they were called people of the way? In other words, you walk in his way, you follow his course, you devote yourself to following after his pathway. And when we follow his course, then down in verse 6 says, he will show you the path to take. He will guide you in the direction that you are to go. You know, we've become the GPS generations. I mean, whenever you need to know where to go, we all turn to GPS to show us how do you get to where you're going. Do you remember maps? How many remember maps? Remember how difficult it was to read a map? Or how many of you remember stopping and asking directions? None of the husbands in the room, I understand. But how many of you remember stopping? You know, you don't have to do that at all anymore because we have a GPS and we rely on it and it shows us the way to go. Of course, these verses are not talking about literal roads or pathways. It's talking about life. And when we all go through those difficult seasons of life and we don't know which way to turn, Solomon says, you need to understand, your heavenly Father, he's the one who will show you the right pathway to follow. And it's true. He does. Listen, in the aftermath of my heart attack, I took a week to get away and just really reflect deeply. To spend time just with the Lord, to think and to envision the future and to try to hear from my Heavenly Father. And one of the things I was saying to him was, listen, Lord, I didn't see that coming. Caught me totally by surprise. So what's next? Which way am I supposed to go? What direction am I to go? And as I've shared with many of you about that week it was like the Holy Spirit was just downright chatty. I was just taking notes as fast as I could to hear from him, to listen to him. And over again, what I heard the Lord saying is, this is the way to go. This is the way to go. This is the way to go. And listen, I'm convinced that our Heavenly Father doesn't just do that for preachers. He does that for all of us. If we'll pause in his presence and really lean in and learn to listen to him, and if we're following closely enough to hear, and if we are investing ourselves in his word, God knows the way for your life and for my life, and we trust the paths that he chooses for us. Not only do we need to believe that God is trustworthy, I think we need to declare that he is trustworthy in our lives. Psalms 96 says this, sing to the Lord, praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things that he does. There is something that deeply stirs within us when we declare who God is and what he has done and declare the good news. That deepens our trust in him and it eases our anxiety. And by the way, that phrase, publish his good deeds among the nation, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Isn't that who we've called to be? Every man, woman, and child needs to have the good news of Christ declared. That's our mission. In fact, Janie Pitts, our mission mobilizer, just returned from one of our first connection visits with a new mission partner in France. And I want you to hear her report. So watch this video.
New work. I am so excited to tell you about our new church partner in Vitry-sur-Seine, France. Sarah Venable and I just returned from a vision trip where we met the pastor, our American missionaries, and so many of the church members of L'Église Baptiste de Vitry-sur-Seine. Let me tell you, they're precious people. While there, we led a women's event and learned so much about what it's like being a Christian in France. Because it's a socialist country, it's harder to share the gospel than you might think. Only 1.5% of the country is evangelical Christian, and those who identify as Catholic practice it loosely, if at all. The majority of France is atheist. In the town of Vitry-sur-Seine, where our church partner is located, 35% of the people are practicing and faithful Muslim. The International Mission Board reports that 50% of French people believe religion is a negative influence, and 85% of the population don't attend church ever. France needs Jesus. Ministry there is hard, because if someone tells you they don't want to talk about Jesus, you cannot continue. You could get fined by the government or even arrested. What's amazing? That in this uphill battle, the church we're partnering with is growing. The Sunday we attended, they had 10 new visitors. This is unheard of in France. God is moving there, and we have been blessed to partner with them. So please pray for the church in Vitry, for Pastor Marcelo and his wife Marlene, as they shine the light of Christ into a shady place where people don't even realize they are in the dark. Pray for the church members that are already so deep in their faith that they will continue to grow and mature even more in the Lord. And pray for our partnership, that it will be fruitful and that God will be glorified. Let's go, New Work.
That's just one of our mission partners, and over the next several weeks, you're going to be introduced to more and more about other partners that we are going to be working with. We are to trust His commands. We are to trust His course that He lays out for us. And another thing, we are to trust His care. God's care is trustworthy. Did you hear what He said in verse 7 through 10? He says this: "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom." Ever feel like you're trying to figure everything out for yourself? "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing in your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce, and then He will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine." Solomon is reminding us, do you realize that God is the provider of every good thing that you have in your life? You can trust God not only to fill your barns, he is saying, but every need in your life. He is the provider. And then down in verse 9, did you catch that little phrase about the good part, the best part? That's the New Living Translation for a Hebrew word that was the first fruits. It's talking about the tithe, that you give back to God the best that you have because God has given the best to you. And only when you trust God to really provide for your needs and you trust His care that you'll be able to give back to Him the very best in your life. But I'm telling you, you can trust that His care is trustworthy. One of the things that I love about this season of the year, this time of Thanksgiving upon us, is that it's a time when we begin to reflect and to think about all the ways that God has blessed us, all the things that God has done for you, how He's provided for you. And the more you think deeply about the way in which God has blessed you, your life will erupt in grateful praise. You know, when I was growing up, this was a time of year when there was this song that we would sing in church services, and it seemed like we always sang it around this time of the year. And some of you are old enough to remember the song that we used to sing this time of year, and it was called "Count Your Blessings." Anybody remember that song, "Count Your Blessings"? You know, it said, "Count your blessings Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Do you remember how the song began? This is how it began. It said, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed. In other words, you're in a storm. Life is just raging. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Let me tell you, in an anxious and in a troubled world, we're to practice deep gratitude and to remember every blessing that we have comes from God and that He is trustworthy. And then he adds one more area where we can know that God is trustworthy. And this one's probably a little tougher. When he reminds us that his correction is trustworthy. Not only his commands, not only his course, not only his care, but his correction is trustworthy. Listen to what he said. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. Don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. You realize this is one of the ways that God our Father demonstrates his love to us. When he corrects us, when he reminds us we're going the wrong way. Hebrews 12 puts it this way. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God's treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who was never disciplined? No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a quiet harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Solomon's trying to help us all see that God can be trusted. You can trust him. Trust is not just a nice slogan or a motto. It's a matter of integrating your heart and your habits together in a way that demonstrates that you are trusting him. So number one, you believe God's trustworthy. And then number two, you need to grasp this, that God entrusted us with all things. Not only is God trustworthy, but he's entrusted us with all things. Everything that we have came from God. I mean, it's taught all the way through the scriptures. James puts it this way. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father. There isn't one thing that you have in your possession that you didn't receive from your heavenly Father. From the air that's in your lungs to the dollars that are in your wallet, all of that is a gift to you from him. But we need to understand and remember that every good gift that God gives to us, they always come with responsibility. Every good gift comes with responsibility. Every precious gift comes with responsibility. You know, this is the time of year as people are starting to think about Christmas. I've actually seen that some people have already put up their Christmas trees. What kind of craziness is that? But don't point fingers or throw elbows or anything. But, you know, my grandkids, they're beginning to think about Christmas. And you know what they're involved in right now? They're making out the Christmas list. Do you remember that? When you would make out the Christmas list and you would list out all the things that would just make Christmas so enjoyable. But one of the things you got to remember is that all those gifts, they come with responsibility. You know, when I was a kid, I think the best Christmas gift, the one that I wanted more than any others, and there's some of you in this room that you'll remember when you wanted it too. It was the BB gun. Anybody else? Anybody remember wanting the BB gun? And how many of you found that your parents reminded you that the BB gun comes with responsibility? Anybody? Yeah, I remember my parents giving me that BB gun, but they were clear. If you ever shoot this at anybody, the BB gun is gone. Because the gift, it comes with responsibility. Every precious gift is that way. Every gift comes with responsibility. Think about when you're a teenager and you finally get your driver's license and you get to drive and your parents hand you those keys. And I just about guarantee you, every time those parents are going to say something to you that remind you you're being trusted. And if you don't live up to the trust, I will take those keys away from you, because every precious gift comes with great responsibility. Jesus taught the very thing, same thing. Did you know that? Listen to what he said in Luke chapter 12. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. You see, we need to remember that God our Father, He is trustworthy. And you have been entrusted. And the reason you and I have been entrusted with such precious gifts is because He's calling us to join Him in His work that He is doing in this world. One of the things I love about this Sunday is we are kicking off our year-end mission offering. In fact, when you came in your seat today, you may have noticed a brochure that looks something like this and an envelope that looks something like this. And listen, we want every one of you to take these home with you, because this is a prayer guide for you as we move towards the end of the year. You're going to be seeing more and more about the opportunity that we have to use the blessings that our good Father has entrusted to us in order to be a part of the good work that He's doing. And here is my hope, and this is my prayer. I am hoping that every person, that every family, you might say every man, woman, and child, would begin today to start praying about how you might join us in this work. Because God is trustworthy, and He has already entrusted you with blessing upon blessing. So from now until the end of December, we're going to share highlight after highlight of partnership opportunities that you and I have the privilege to step into, just like the one that you saw about France today. So what am I asking you to do? The first thing I'm asking you to do is to pray. Don't just take it home and throw it away. Don't just leave it in your seat. Would you really engage with the Heavenly Father and pray about what He's entrusted to you so that you can be a part of the work that He wants to do? And then secondly, I'm going to challenge you to be trustworthy, just like our Heavenly Father is trustworthy. And I'm going to invite you to make an outrageously generous gift, because that's the kind of Heavenly Father you have. So you pray about it, and you prepare your heart to be trustworthy and to make an outrageously generous gift because of all that the Lord has given to us. But before we look too far ahead to the opportunities that God has brought to us, I just want us to look back and remember what God has done and how He blessed and how we had an opportunity to partner with Him in 2020 in what was our very first year-end mission offering. So watch this video.
Hello, Newark family. Listen, I am so excited about what the Lord has done through you with the year-end mission offering. In 2020, you guys just did an incredible job. We asked you to prayerfully consider giving to the very first ever year-end mission offering. We had a goal in mind of what we were hoping that we would receive, but listen, we had no idea what the response would be. But God exceeded anything that we could have imagined. We ended up collecting over $98,000 for missions.
All right, hold on. Since we recorded this video, someone gave some more, and now we are at $100,000. Is it not amazing what God can do when we choose to be generous?
And we want to share with you how we are stewarding well the gift of your giving. Every penny falls under a biblical worldview found in a few key scriptures. The first scripture we want to live out as a church is Psalm 105, verse 1. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness. Let the whole earth know what He has done." We have five areas where your giving is helping to spread the gospel of Christ. We're donating monies to our missionary partners in India, Kenya, France, Haiti, Eastern Kentucky, and in the Amazon. We're able to give financial support to our church partners in Queens, New York, and France. We're able to support church planner training for a family in Texas, buy needed supplies to build a church in Kenya, and provide funds to global missionaries by giving to the Lottie Moon offering through the International Mission Board.
Another verse where we based our giving is James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. To live out this biblical mindset, we are donating to four organizations who work directly with widows and orphans. The Means Avenue Widow Ministry is receiving funds, as is Sunrise Children's Services, Ordinary Hero, and No More Fatherless, who are all organizations that work in orphan care.
Our third verse is divided into even more categories. Matthew 25:35 says, "For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink." To fulfill this verse, we have to set aside monies for Dinner Church, Christian County Backpack Program, Coffee Connection, Aaron McNeil House, the Boys and Girls Club, Micah Mission, the Challenge Houses, the Way Youth Center in Cadiz, and to help with food for a village in Guatemala.
Matthew 25:35 goes on to say, "I was a stranger and you invited me in, naked and you clothed me." To fulfill this scripture, we look to organizations in Hopkinsville that do exactly this. And we're donating money to Grace and Mercy, Redeemed and Restored, and the Salvation Army. Matthew goes on and says, "I was sick and you cared for me." Now we're sending funds to Teenwick Hospital in Nairobi, Kenya, St. Luke's Clinic, and the Alpha Pregnancy Care Center here in Hopkinsville to help with medical care. Finally, the verse concludes with, "I was in prison and you came to visit me." To fulfill this, we are donating funds to Malachi Dads, who work with men in our local jail.
New Work, this is exciting. God is using you literally all over the world, in Hopkinsville, in Kentucky, in North America, Central America, and in South America. He's using you in the Caribbean, Europe, Asia, and Africa. Your funds are helping share the gospel, offering hope, feeding, clothing, housing, and healing, all in the name of Jesus. Your generosity has made an imprint on the world for Jesus Christ. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for loving God and loving others. And thank you for giving to New Work. Because when you give to New Work, you really are giving through New Work.
I can't wait to see what God does through you as we trust Him and we step into faithfulness with Him. Remember, trust is not a motto or a slogan. It is the blending of your heart and your life together, what you believe and what you do. So believe that God is trustworthy. Number two, grasp that God has entrusted you with all things. And then, therefore, number three, behave as if you are his trustworthy. If God is trustworthy, and he is, and if God has entrusted us with all things, and he certainly has, then we are his trustees. Now, do you know what a trustee is? I looked it up in the dictionary. This is what a dictionary says. It says, a trustee is a person or agent who holds title on behalf of another and administers according to an established directive. Well, that doesn't really get it for me. That really doesn't ring true for me. So I want to show you what a trustee is and illustrate that. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, once again, get out your wallet. So go ahead, get it back out. Yeah, I'm serious. Go ahead and get it back out. And some of you are really anxious now because, okay, he's up the ante. He's asked me for a second time. So what in the world is he going to ask you to do with your wallet? Or if you don't have a wallet, the money that you had in your hand a little bit. All right, you got it? Can I see? Are a few of you believe? All right, a few of you trusting me? I get you to point out those that aren't participating. Right? Now, this is what we're going to do. Are you ready? I want you to give it to somebody else. Just give it to somebody else. There you go. Look, he's reaching across the aisle to give it to somebody else. All right, just give it to somebody else. Now, I want you to give like you've always wanted to give. I'm just. When you hold in your hand something that belongs to somebody else, you're a trustee. Now, give it back. Give it back. You're a trustee. All right, so here's the point. God's word tells us you're a trustee. God owns it all. He blesses us in such incredible ways, but we only hold it for a little while. And in fact, the ultimate proof that we're just trustees is that anything I possess will one day leave me, or I will leave it. The Bible puts it this way: we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. God is the owner. I'm a trustee. And the point of the message today is this: when you really trust God, you'll prove worthy of your trust. When you really trust God, you will prove worthy of your trust. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, now it's required that those who've been given a trust must prove faithful. So how do you prove that you'll be faithful? Number one, you trust him when you go through adversity. The truth about all of us is there's plenty of adversity and hardship in life. I've told you before, you'll hear me say it again, you're in one of three places always. Either you're just having come through a tough time, a tough season in your life, and you're looking back and you say, whew, I didn't see that coming. That's right where I am. Just coming through a tough time in your life. Or you're standing right in the middle of it. You're in the midst of a fight right now. You are struggling. You are battling. You're dealing with difficulty, and you're feeling overwhelmed and confused. You're right in the middle of it. And listen, if you're not in one of those two places that you've come through, or you're in the middle of it, I have news for you. You're getting ready to step into it. I mean, literally step into it. Because every one of us, life is full of adversity. But the trust test is, can you trust God to be the good Heavenly Father even in the midst of the adversity that you find yourself in? The prophet Nahum put it this way: the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust him. Will you trust him in adversity? The second way to prove a trust is this: can you trust him in plenty? Now, I actually think this is a little more difficult. I actually think it's easier to trust God when you're going through adversity, because what else are you going to do? You got to trust him. But can you trust him in plenty? In fact, I think this may be the problem when the wealthiest nation on the earth is also the most anxious nation on the earth. We cannot trust him because of the plenty. In fact, when God was leading the children of Israel into the promised land, God warned them about the dangers of forgetting him when you have plenty. Listen to what God said. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good that he's given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. Could that be the problem in our nation? Is we've been so blessed that we've forgotten. How do you trust him? You trust him in adversity. You trust him in plenty. But ultimately, you trust him with your all. The only one worthy of all your trust is God himself. So put your trust in him. Give him your life. That's why the Bible tells us that when we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we'll be saved. We're bringing our heart and our life into alignment, and we are trusting him with our all. And when you trust him with your all, it's not just about getting your ticket punched to heaven. It's about living your life his way, walking with him, following him, going his way. Do you know Jesus? Do you really know him? Are you following him? Are you going his way? Listen again to what Solomon wrote. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek him and his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. That's the foundation of following after him. Do you know him? Do you really know him? Because I would say, to really know him is to fully trust him. To really know him is to fully trust him. And like I told you earlier, when you really trust God, you will prove worthy of your trust. Is it any wonder that the psalmist declared that those who trust in the Lord will not be disappointed? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father and our God, we thank you so much that you are indeed trustworthy. That every good thing that we have in our life, it came from your generous hand. You have been outrageously generous with us in sending your Son into this world to die so that we might be saved. You were outrageously generous when you sent your Holy Spirit to indwell us, to live within us, so that we might know your will and know your way, and that you can guide us and say, go this way or go that way. Father, we thank you so much that you provide for us everything that we need, and you invite us to join you in your work. And Father, like the psalmist said, may we declare to the nations the good deeds of our God, that you are worthy to be trusted. May we lift our voices together and declare that you are good and that you are worthy to be praised. Father, we thank you for every good gift that you've given us. We pray that you would help us, correct us, train us how to live worthy of the trust that you've given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May this